Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, it is the best day of my life. I heard yesterday from a state representative, Pappas, who told me that this bill that I've talked about on the radio to protect our pets in fires is actually going to be signed by the governor. But now I've got to figure things out a bit. First of all, it was no surprise. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this has to do with the awful fire that happened in January in West Chicago, where I think the count was 29 or 30 dogs that died as a result of that awful fire. And because these fires happen around the country all too often, and what I learned is no state has fire protection for dogs, I thought, you know what, we need protection, at least in Illinois. That's a place to start, or a place where I can start. So with a lot of help, including from Representative Pappas, most importantly, also Mark Ayers from the Humane Society of the United States and others, this passed the House of Representatives and unanimously in the Senate. I'm telling you, nothing passes unanimously in the Illinois Senate. And this did, you know. And now the governor, I am told, is eager to sign it. He's going to sign it. A problem is, I'm speaking at the convention of the American Veterinary Medical Association the day before, and I've got to figure out a way to get back. So either that or the dates have to be rearranged, or I'm going to have to miss it. And I don't want to miss it because I'm very proud of that. And the folks in New York State, Assemblyperson Linda Rosenthal, her office knew, they know about me. And I thought, how do these guys know about me? Well, her office is the one. And we had Assemblyperson Rosenthal on the show, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, talking about their law that they now have, declawing cats, is banned. First state to do it is New York State. Well, she knew of me because she knew of what we were passing in Illinois about fire protection for pets. So that's what happens with laws, you know? It's like a cascade. One state does it, another state hears about it, and then, oh, that's a good idea. And then another state does it, and another state does it. Excuse me. In any case, I'm just very happy that Governor Pritzker is so much on board and will be signing this into law. He's a dog owner. I'm not surprised by that at all. 6:38. Good morning to all of you, WGN Radio. I'm going to try my best to do this right. I just met you, what was it, yesterday? And that would be Erica Fuhrenbacher. Mm-hmm. Did I do that?
Pretty good. Fuhrenbacher.
Fuhrenbacher.
Uh-huh.
Woo! And tell us what you do.
I'm an assistant professor at Virginia Tech. I study companion animal behavior and welfare and teach other people about it.
I should be calling you doctor?
Yeah. Either way.
Well, I should. I should do that because you have a PhD in psychology behavior analysis from the University of Florida. And you recently lived in Montana, and off the air before we started, you said, well, when I took a walk there, you know, just like down the street, I'd take this little spray with me. And I thought you were talking about maybe hairspray or something. I don't know. But no, that's not the spray you were talking about.
Right. We've got bear spray. So
bear spray.
Yes.
I thought she said hairspray. What do I know? Because walking down the street with you might be a grizzly bear.
Yeah, we didn't see too many grizzlies where we were in Helena, but we have black bears around, and certainly grizzlies are in Montana, so.
Yeah, black bears aren't generally very aggressive, are they?
They're not as bad as grizzlies.
No, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk to you, first of all. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can text us, please do, at that same number. My Facebook fan page, like the page, follow us right now, because you can see a video of all of this exciting stuff that's going on in the studio. Yesterday, you talked, among other things, at the Animal Behavior Conference. I spoke, you spoke there, and that's where I had the pleasure of meeting you and hearing all these other amazing speakers. And you talked about the importance of touch. And while we all know this, I don't know that we think about this, and now you have done studies to verify kind of what makes sense.
Yeah, we're interested in what dogs prefer about humans. Why do they want to hang out with us? And one of the questions we asked was, do they like petting or vocal praise better? And we found that they really like petting much more than vocal praise. And that sometimes when you give them exclusively petting for 24 minutes in our study, they didn't seem to satiate on it. They really liked it continuously.
And this was shelter dogs primarily that you looked at?
We looked at shelter dogs and owned dogs, and what we found was that even if the owner was one of the interactors, they would leave the owner giving vocal praise to go to a stranger that was giving petting. So that's how important petting is to them.
So are we considering touch enough every day with our dogs? I mean, starting when they're puppies. So I was thinking, as you were speaking, what you probably tell people and what I tell people I know, for house training. You know, the little puppy, take the puppy out on a leash, same place all the time. When the puppy finally does business, hooray! And praise the dog, use a special treat. All of that, you know, and that's kind of like 101. It's in every book. Right. I've never read anywhere in any book, and you're hearing it first here, because this, the whole paradigm may change now because of you. I mean, serious, should we be also petting? If petting is that reinforcing, we want our puppies to learn things aside from telling them, and it's not what we say, it's tone of voice, especially when they're that young, because they don't understand the words yet. Should we be petting them?
I certainly would. I think what we see is that the vocal praise, you can condition certain words. I mean, you probably have to spell out W-A-L-K or T-R-E-A-T. That's become very potent to your dogs.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you don't follow that up with something like picking up the leash to go outside or a treat or probably petting, then it becomes a little more meaningless to them. So I encourage petting. Of course, you always have to read your dog's behavior to make sure they're actually enjoying it. We always suggest consent tests where you pet for a while and then you stop petting. And if your dog really likes it, they'll probably come back and solicit more. They'll lean into you. And if they're kind of over it, then they'll walk away.
You know, what you did was study specifically shelter dogs and what their emotional health essentially is in animal shelters. And in a nutshell, what did you find?
They, in some ways, are very similar to owned dogs, but in other ways, they can differ. They're in a high stress environment, and so sometimes interactions are different, have different meanings to them. What we found is that they would tend to prefer petting more so than our owned dogs, and likely because they're in a stressful environment and deprived of human interaction. So we see how important that can be, especially for these stressed dogs. And I think that carries over to how we interact with our dogs at vet clinics, too, when they're stressed. I would encourage petting your dog and trying to help them cope a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of us do that because we're human. So if I wanted to console you, and if I knew you better than I know you, I might give you a hug, right? If there's something sad going on in your life or mine, that's what humans do naturally. So I think we naturally have the ability to do that. But the other side of the coin is dogs don't like to be hugged, per se.
Right. What we did in our study is we would pet with one hand. We didn't trap the dog. And the dog got to arrange themselves however they wanted. So if they wanted a neck scratch, it could get a neck scratch. Or a bottom scratch, it could get a bottom scratch. So I think still listening to your dog about where do you want to be scratched, how long do you want to be scratched, is really important.
And not necessarily the way we would touch another person,
right,
but the way we should touch dogs. There is a difference, is what you're saying.
Right, yeah, and especially if you don't know the dog, we encourage, you know, really safe handling and petting under the head, not over the head. So, that, yeah, there are a lot of things that can be rude to dogs that are not rude to humans and vice versa.
Yeah, which is actually important to understand, I think. Shelters, it's become a trend now where two things happen, fostering animals, dogs and cats, and also taking dogs, not so much with cats, away for a day or even just not even that long, a couple of hours. So, you know, my thinking was early on, and then you can answer, and you probably know what I'm about to ask. So you take the dog for a day or two, but then the dog goes back to the shelter rather quickly as opposed to a fostering situation where the dog may, after a week or two, go back to a shelter. But the hope is that that dog, after a week or two, goes back but into a home,
right,
into that forever home and not back to the shelter. So these overnight stays, is it harmful for the dog to go back into the shelter environment?
Yeah, that was the question we were trying to answer with our research, was it seems like a good idea to get the dog out, but now the dog's coming back. And is that welfare of the dog going up or down? And what we found is that they do very much benefit from being out of the shelter. What we studied was cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Their cortisol dropped. They also got longer rest when they were out of the shelter, which makes sense.
So talk about that. I mean, that was surprising and not. You know, if you think about it, it makes sense. But, you know, it wouldn't have been what I thought. So most people would take that dog and say, let's go everywhere. I am going to give you the best day ever in your life. We're going to go. We have a boat ride. I was talking to you about right. off the air for dogs in Chicago. So we're going to go on a boat ride. And then we're going to go as I eat outside. You'll sit and watch me eat. And I'll give you some special treats. Then we're going to go up and down the street. We're going to meet everyone. Then I'm going to go to a dog park with you. It turns out that that kind of activity may not be the best idea.
Yeah, I think you certainly can, but you still want to make sure you give your dog some downtime. When you think about shelter environments, they're really stimulating environments. And so now we're taking this dog that has been exposed to a lot of stimulation already and saying, let's go see the whole world. And I don't think you have to do that. You can go home and watch Netflix with this dog and really benefit the dog. What we find is that when they return to the shelter, they're better off. We don't find that their welfare has decreased. They come back and they're better able to rest in the shelter after having rested in your home. So, yeah, you can go out and do those fun things, but that you don't want to do that all the time. You want to give that dog plenty of time to kind of settle down and take a break in a calm environment.
And I think you said that what they most want, in fact, is the opportunity to feel safe so they could sleep. Right. And be in a quiet enough environment in some cases?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've walked into shelters, you've heard how loud it is. And the eruptions of noise, you know, come all through the day and all through the night. So what we're seeing is the dogs aren't really getting good rest. But you take them home, and anecdotally, our foster people would tell us that the dog hung out for a little bit and then crashed and just fell asleep. And
yeah.
It's kind of, I think, nice to hear that that dog felt so good in the home that it could just take a nap.
Yeah, exactly right. But then my heart breaks because the dog has to go back to the shelter. But you say that's not as bad as we are anthropomorphizing a bit, perhaps?
Right, absolutely. And we liken it to a weekend that you get 2 days off. And yes, on Monday you come back to work and you're stressed again, but you're better able to cope. And we saw that in our dogs too. They weren't more stressed coming back. And in fact, they showed better in their kennel. They had longer bouts of rest. And we think showing better in the kennel is likely to help them get adopted.
A couple of texts here, 312-981-7200. One reads, Steve, this is fascinating information. I had heard about these programs. I thought, like you, and I wasn't sure if they were good or bad. So because of your research, I mean, that's the importance of people doing what you do.
Right.
Because
yes.
Rather than make assumptions or trust those anecdotal reports, science is a good, very good thing.
Yeah, sometimes we're right, but sometimes we're wrong with our, you know, everyday observations.
Free spaying cats should be offered. People who let their cats go out and get pregnant would appreciate the favor. Neutering males is good too. Well, that's your opinion. But one male cat can make hundreds of female cats pregnant. Yes, that's true.
Yes.
So you've seen those graphs, right? Where you it starts with one cat,
yeah.
Right? And then at the bottom of the graph or the top of the graph, you see 300 cats, and that happens over like 10 minutes.
Right.
I mean, yes, cats are, they reproduce like rabbits, actually. Steve Dale right here on WGN Radio with Erica Fuhrenbacher, who is, if we said what you did for a living, so you're at a party, how do you describe what you do?
I study dogs and how they learn and try to improve their welfare.
Notice she just didn't say cats, and that disturbs me a little bit. But that's okay. You've studied other animals too, right?
Yeah, we've worked with other animals. In fact, some of my students study horses, and we're not opposed to studying cats. We just haven't gotten into those.
You need to. So text, a lot of them. Thanks, Steve, for your guess. I think they mean guest. I'm going to do this volunteer work at Pet Pal in St. Petersburg, Florida. So thank you for listening from St. Petersburg. Good to learn about bringing that puppy home, which is what you were talking about. Always listen to your show. Carolyn, thank you so much for your comment. But you transition us, Carolyn, perfectly, because this is what I want to ask you about, Erica, and that is to do this You know, I mean, you need people. Okay, so you determined it's a good idea to do. It's good for the dogs, for them to get out, even if it's only for a couple of days.
Right.
The problem is they have to go somewhere, and someone has to take them out. So talk about the importance of volunteering to do that. I think sometimes people, me included, maybe, are hesitant to do it.
Yeah, and I think in general, if you said, can you take a dog home and foster it for a while, a lot of us, you know, think of our schedules and think, oh, I can't
big
do
commitment.
This. Yeah, I've got holidays coming up or travel. And I think this lowers the bar and makes it more accessible for a lot of people that you don't have to do it every weekend. You can find a weekend that works for you and help that dog. And we find more and more that even 15 minutes or 30 minutes of interacting with a shelter dog can be really beneficial to them. So you can take, you know, a little lunchtime and go help a dog. You don't have to set aside several hours, which is wonderful.
So if you're, I don't know that you know this or not. I probably, you don't, but you should, that the king of the world works at this radio station. His name is John Williams. He says he's the king of the world. Now you are the queen of the world. If you can do anything and snap your fingers instantly for dogs in shelters for their emotional welfare, what would it be?
It would be getting a lot more human interaction. That's what we see from research is across the board. That's what they need is getting out, getting to be with a human, learning how to interact appropriately with a human. And more, if we can find out more about these dogs, we can make better placements for them in adoptive homes so that we're not going into it blind and saying, we don't know how this dog is going to be. And that's another benefit of this fostering work is that you get to see the dog in a home and you can come back and tell people, they did great with my kids or they did great with my cats. And that just opens up adoption opportunities for the dog.
It's information as well for the facility. But in addition to that, even volunteering at a shelter where you're walking up and down the run and petting to your
right.
point about touch,
yes.
or talking to the dogs are better off, I suppose, taking them for a walk. All of that is a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we also see from other research from some of our colleagues is if you walk into a shelter, it can be really loud. But walking in and tossing treats to dogs can help them reduce their barking. And that's going to help everybody's welfare, too. People can stay in the shelter longer and look at dogs without having their ears hurt. And the other dogs can probably get more rest if it's quieter. So there are lots of interesting and cool interventions you can do. And you can find what you enjoy and what suits your skills.
And I think shelters are more and more interested in this as they have the resources and ability to do it. And by resources, we're not only talking money, we're talking about volunteer help.
Yeah, so much of it is they need time and they need manpower. And you can go in and if you don't feel comfortable walking the dogs, you can help with laundry or you can feed cats or you can do so many other tasks.
Ah, she said cats. I got her to say cats. Erica, thank you so much. You're here for the meeting of the Animal Behavior Society, which, as I said earlier, that's where I met you. Your presentation just blew me away. It really did. And the other presentations were great, too.
They were wonderful.
Yeah, so it was just a pleasure to be there. And thank you so much for getting up so early. Thank you, Erica.
Thanks for having me.